It's an important topic. It's a topic which many people are ignorant of, and the doctrine of evolution has certainly had a big impact on our society. Let's open in prayer as we come around the Word of God and look at this important topic tonight. Father, I pray that every one of us would understand and will understand your Word, your ways, and that creation, not evolution, is the reality. Father, I pray that all of us would have a revelation in our heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at the question, was man created? Now, in our society today, the doctrine of evolution says that man descended from ape-like creatures. In fact, the evolutionists say that there was a common ape-type creature, and out of that came the apes and the monkeys, and another stream brought forth the humans. So you can see that the way evolution portrays man is in a very demeaning type of way. In other words, it puts man down to the level of animals. And so as far as evolution is concerned, man is just another animal. Yes, certainly more intelligent, but just another animal. Now, that's certainly very, very different from the account of the Bible. And the biblical account is that creation, special creation, is where man came from. In other words, evolution has no part in Bible believing. And when people try to compromise, and you hear about theistic evolutionists and things like that, where they're trying to merge the so-called scientific evidence for evolution, of which there is none, trying to merge that theory with some sort of belief about the Bible. And yet, to be consistent with the Bible, you have to believe it as it stands. You can't be trying to merge something that's clearly atheistic. And the doctrine of evolution is definitely atheistic, which means it leaves God out of the picture. So the great question about man, it's posed a couple of times, is what is man? Job 7, verse 17, says, "What is man that thou," that's God, "shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him?" And also Psalm 8, verse 4 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" So this points to the fact that man is a special creation that God has put special attention upon. We'll see a little bit about that as we go on. One thing that's very important to understand is that right across the earth, men understand that man is unlike any other creature upon the earth. Whether they're atheists, evolutionists, or creationists, they know that man is unlike any other creature on the earth. For example, man speaks and communicates in speaking. Man is a great planner and plans for the future and builds cities and has all types of aspirations and so on that animals just do not have at all. It's just not in them. In other words, animals are very different from man, and man is a creature that's unlike anything that anything else on the earth today. So God has, as it says there, "What is man that thou shouldest magnify him?" God has placed special attention upon man himself. And tonight we're going to look at the Bible a lot, and we're also going to look at some arguments against the evolutionary scenario as well. So God's special creation is described in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now, when it says, let us make man in our image, you can see it's pointing towards the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So you see that God has made man in a special way. He said, in our image. As it says there down the bottom part, in the image of God created he him. So if you think about God, God is a speaking being. God is a being that has put his word into the earth. Man also reflects that. Also, we see that God says, let them have dominion. So, dominion is rulership. God has placed in the heart of man a desire to have dominion or rulership over the earth. And when, of course, we see that in evidence, even though we see it in a fallen state at the moment, we certainly see that the dominion has played out in man's society. You see, for example, governments, and you see planning and building and so on, and all of this is related to dominion. So it's important to see that the Bible puts man as a special creation, and because man is a special creation, God has centred him as the centre of creation. God has placed his thoughts upon him and has made him for a purpose. And of course, God wanted man to be like him and have a free will. And that's why God placed a test in the Garden of Eden, and man of his own free will had to make a choice, either to believe God, is what God said true, and we know that Satan in the garden say, yea, hath God said. In other words, he started to put doubt into the first man and woman. And so we see that right at the very beginning, God placed man and wanted him of his own free will to choose God. Now, we know that when we're born again and we've come to Christ, we have of our own free will bowed our knee to Christ and have said, I will serve you, Lord. Praise God. So let's just have a look at a little bit about man's complexity. You can see that it's designed. And I mentioned before one of the primary differences between man and animals is this area of language or speaking. Now, the brain has been called one of the most complex, or the most complex computer or machine on the planet. And certainly man's brain is far more complex than any animal brain. And let me just quote a 2015 article in What's New in Electronics. It's by Dr. Sharath Sriram, and he says, the brain is an extremely complex analog computer, and up until now this functionality has not been able to be adequately reproduced with digital technology. So you can see that man recognises that the brain is a complex computer. There's this general recognition that there is a great complexity in what has been created. And it's only blindness that has caused human beings to believe a doctrine that tries to leave God out. The Bible talks about the blindness of men's hearts. Now, one of the things, and I just want to point out about the language center in man's brain, is that man's brain needs whole language processing centers that are completely absent from animals. Now, it's very easy. This is just a little diagram here. You've got this girl speaking. The sound waves go into this boy's ear. And there are signals sent into the brain into what is known as Wernicke's area. Now, Wernicke's area, which is absent from animals, Wernicke's area is an area where it looks at understanding speech, understanding language. So it's an understanding language area. And from that, you can see that it goes over to the Broca's area. And the Broca's area is a language processing area which creates or makes language or speech. And of course, from Broca's area, it goes into the motor cortex. Motor cortex says to the human body, you have to use your lips and your tongue to speak. And so he speaks. So you can see there's a process, a language process that goes through these language processing centres, and we're doing it all the time. You know, I'm speaking, I speak to a person, that person speaks back, and it's very fast. It's something that happens very fast. And we've got to understand that for this to happen, it's a computer system. Although the brain is actually far more complex than just the computers that we have. The brain itself, as I said before, is barely understood by people today. And so the question comes about is that every person should be seeking to ask is, did this come about by chance? Or was it designed? Now, if I pointed to a computer on my desk and said that came about by chance, you'd laugh at me because you know that that's a silly thing to say. But when you point to the brain of a human being and say that came about by chance, people say, yeah, it happened by chance, yeah. In other words, their whole set of understanding and thinking about it correctly seems to go out the window. But you've got to understand that there is a blindness on men's hearts, men and women's hearts. There's a blindness, and it's a spiritual thing. The Bible talks about people being willingly ignorant of various things that are spiritual things. So it's only the gospel that can bring light into that area and to cause people to come out of darkness into light. Now, the fact is that there are, right across the earth today, there are many creationists and many scientists that are creationists as well. And there's many scientists that don't even think about evolution because it just doesn't touch on their field of study. However, evolutionary theory has certainly saturated our society to the extent that the thinking of where does man come from is still, millions of years ago, man came out of ape-like creatures, and here we have what we are today, Homo sapiens. You know, one of the first tasks that God gave to man was a speaking task, and that's no coincidence, is it? One of the first tasks that God gave man was connected with man's unique ability to speak. In Genesis 2, verse 19, it says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." So you can see God used man and gave man a task which none of the other animals could do, and reflected that man had been made in the image of God. Isaac Newton in 1730, in a book he wrote called Optics, and this was a man, one of the greatest scientists this planet has ever seen, he's often referred to as the father of modern science. He asked this question: was the eye contrived without skill in optics, and the ear without knowledge of sounds? He could have gone on and said, was the brain formed or designed or contrived without a knowledge of computing? You know, this is something we've got to think about. The eye, and here I've got a simple diagram of what happens in the eye. The eye has a lens. You take out that lens, you don't have a functioning system. The Bible, creationists call that irreducible complexity. In other words, it's complex. But if you take out the retina, or the lens, or the back of the eye, or the nerves there, any part of that system, it's not going to work as an eye. And even Darwin himself said, the eye is a great evidence against his theory. So we know that built into our bodies, and the eye is just one area, there's the ear, there's all types of other complex systems in our bodies, that if you look at it, it looks designed. The light comes in, goes through the cornea, goes through the lens, comes onto the retina, and then from there it goes into signals into the brain, and the brain processes that light that's come into the eye, processes it into an understanding of what we're seeing. So when I'm looking out here, I see an auditorium, I see people in the auditorium, and I'm processing by the light that's reflecting off people. We have to ask the question with Isaac Newton: was the eye contrived without skill in optics, and the ear without knowledge of sounds? Obviously, God has and had skill in optics. Obviously, God has knowledge of sounds. Obviously, God has and had knowledge of computers and computing and programming. And so it makes something like the theory of evolution, which is everything came about by chance, random processes, a nonsense. And particularly when you look at it in more detail, go right into the cells and the DNA of living creatures and so on, you see that design is everywhere. And design is indeed a major argument for creation. Now keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Because often evolutionists want to explain that away. But you cannot explain away the complexity of the brain as a computer. You cannot explain away the complex, irreducible complexity of the eye, in which obviously is using a knowledge of optics, etc., etc. You just cannot explain those things away unless you do not want to believe that God has created. So God created man for a purpose. And Psalm 8 verses 4 to 6 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And what is the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Where it says that God has made him a little lower than the angels, you've got to understand that in the present creation, that's what man is at the moment in terms of his creation. He's a little lower than the angels. But I tell you what, Once we get our resurrection bodies, we'll be far in excess of what the angels can do. We have no concept at the moment, or very little understanding of just how that will function and what will be into eternity in relation to man. Well, we see here that God has made man to have dominion. We see that word dominion again. This is the purpose of man, over the works of God's hands, and he's put all things under his feet. Even in the fallen creation, we see that. You know, animals in subjection to man, creation in subjection to man using the creation for his needs, and so on. We see, as I said before, the structure of man's society. So we understand that dominion is part of us, and understanding that dominion is understanding our purpose in God as well. So when we come as born-again Christians, we have to understand we do have dominion as well, because the Bible talks about all things have been placed under Christ's feet, and we're in the body of Christ. So we know that we have victory. And victory is all about, victory and triumph and so on is all about dominion, and we have dominion in Christ. So that's been restored in Christ, whereas it was lost originally with the fall of man. So we see that there is a great contradiction of false science. 1 Timothy 6 verse 20 says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. And as I said before, the false science of evolution claims that man was not created but evolved from ape-like creatures over millions of years. Now we have to recognise what that is. Colossians 2 verse 8b says, this is philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So there is definitely a deceit involved in believing an evolutionary scenario as to where man came from and as to where the whole of creation came from. So we have to be people that understand that there is a false science out there, atheistic in nature, very much part of the spirit, what the spirit of error is pushing in our secular society. Here's an interesting quote. Comes from a creationist, Philip E. Johnson, in Darwin on Trial, 1994, page 80. And this is what he says: physical anthropology, the study of human origins, is a field that throughout its history has been more heavily influenced by subjective factors than almost any other branch. The pressure to find confirmation of evolution was so great that it led to one spectacular fraud, Piltdown Man, which British Museum officials zealously protected from unfriendly inspection, allowing it to perform more than 40 years of useful service in moulding public opinion. And in fact, you can read this, The Scientific Fraud of the Century and Its Solution, Unravelling Piltdown, by John Evangelist Walsh, and you'll read about how they filed and deliberately sought to use chemicals to give it an aged appearance and so on. And this was used even after it was starting to be known to be a fraud, or something's not quite right. It was used because it was helping to mould public opinion, and that public opinion that they wanted to mould was that man came from ape-like creatures. And one of those ape-like creatures, they said, was Piltdown Man. And if we examine, and we'll look at one other in just a minute, if we examine all the ape men, we're not here tonight to do that, you'll see this type of deceit, this type of manipulation of evidence in order to bring about this idea that man evolved and was not created. So it's a serious thing. And you can see what he said here, more heavily influenced by subjective factors than almost any other branch. It seems that Satan has wanted more than anything to say, well, man is not a unique creation. Man is not made in the image of God. Man is just any old animal, and wanted to devalue man completely so that he could have his agenda. And of course, we see all types of things done through evolutionary beliefs. Abortion, for example, and so on. We could go on and on about just how blatant evolutionary theory has been used to devalue whole sections of mankind. We continue on the contradiction of false science. One of the other famous ape men, in inverted commas, were the Neanderthals. And we see Dave Phillips in an article in 1999 says Neanderthals are still human in the Institution for Creation Research. He says Neanderthals were human. They buried their dead, used tools, had a complex social structure, employed language, and played musical instruments. So there's a lot of evidence that could be brought up to show that the Neanderthals weren't any type of ape men or monkeys or anything like that. They were actual human beings. They had been living in an environment that did affect them physically, but nevertheless they were still human beings, and they employed many of the things that today's human beings have. Yet evolutionists were vain in their imaginations, and you can see that in Romans 1 verse 21, made out that Neanderthals were an ape-like missing link. Missing link? Missing link, the link between the original ape creature and man that we see today. Now, this is just a funny movie you could look at here. The Neanderthal Man, that's a 1950s movie. And you could see that this was the type of thinking, and it's still the type of thinking today. The Neanderthals were just some sort of ape man that has come from that they use as a missing link. And yet it contradicts the reality of the situation. We could go on and on about all of that. But man was deliberately created. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So we are to be people that are serving God, and we're to be looking to God, not to ourselves, but to the Lord. It is confusion to think that evolution had any part in man's origin. We know that God is not the author of confusion, which 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33 says. So it would be confusion to think that evolution is true and creation is true at the same time. How can that be? Well, evolution is, as I pointed out, is an atheistic doctrine. It's full of vain imaginations. And we see that God is not the author of confusion. God either created or he didn't create. You can't have a merging of them because they just don't merge together. They're two completely contradictory ideas. So, who was the first man and woman? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made, which is Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. And Genesis 3 verse 20 says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So God has told us that there was a first man and a first woman, and they were created, and from that the whole of mankind has come about. Now, there's many details we could go on about that, like where did Cain get his wife and so on. We don't have time tonight for that. But we do know that it is consistent with what we observe today. Okay? If man indeed was on the earth, or even ape-like creatures were on the earth for millions and millions of years and leading up to this, you would see much more of an imprint on the earth itself. Where are all the dead bodies? Nothing like that. The question, who was the first woman, is actually pointed out by evolutionists. They're coming to a conclusion that there indeed was a first woman. Ken Ham, in his 2002 book, Did Eve Really Have an Extra Rib, on page 48, says, in recent years, scientists have conducted a lot of research on DNA that's found in the mitochondria of a cell. Now, this DNA is only inherited through females. By comparing mutations or mistakes in the DNA of people worldwide, scientists came to a startling conclusion. It looks as if all people living today are descended from one woman, and they called her Eve. And another point to note is that the mitochondrial mutation rate indicates that this first woman was only a few thousand years ago. So when you look at the actual evidence, it's not saying that there was no first woman or was no first man. The actual evidence is all pointing to special creation. But of course, there's a lot of filtering going on in our education system, for example, where most of the students are not hearing the other side of the argument at all. And so they make the conclusion, well, it only seems to be information about evolution as being true. And of course, if you look at the textbooks, you see that evolution is continually pushed, for example, in the biology textbooks, continually pushed as though it's true. Millions of years ago, etc., etc. So why is man in great trouble today? Well, Job 14 verse 1 says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now, we observe that all around us today, don't we? There's trouble all around us. From wars, from riots, from all types of crimes and so on. It seems as though there's a never-ending parade of trouble in history. But of course, we know that Romans 5 verse 12 tells us how this came about, and we should know this scripture quite well. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And praise the Lord that that's not the end of it, is it? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has made a way for us to be redeemed from all sin, to be redeemed from the curse of the law, because in fact the whole of creation has been cursed by sin, by rebellion against God. So the fall of man in Genesis 2 verse 17 says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Through disobedience, man was cut off from the life of God. So what does it mean, at the day thou shalt surely die? Well, we know that there is spiritual death and there is physical death. The physical death started to play out in Adam and Eve's body from the day that they disobeyed God. The spiritual death, the cut off from God, happened straight away. And of course that then caused the physical death to come about. We need to understand that death is separation. Physical death is separation from your inner man from your outer man. It's a very simple concept to understand. And spiritual death is being separated from God by sin and darkness. The Bible says we are, prior to being born again, we were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, we were separated from God in trespasses and sins, cut off from the life of God, and death and the curse has come about through sin, through man's fall. So, of course, the new creation is needed, and by trusting in Christ as Saviour from sin, men and women can be born again of the Spirit. And here's the new creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells us. So here there is creation happening today. It's a spiritual inner man creation happening all over to people that trust in Christ as their Saviour from sin. Praise the Lord. So this is the new beginning that man needs. We also should walk in newness of life according to Romans 6 verse 4b. So I pray that tonight you have seen more and have more of an understanding about how God has placed man on the earth as a special creation, not as something that's been evolved, but as something that's been designed, as we know that we are special in God's eyes. And God is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish at all. But praise the Lord, if we've trusted in Christ, we don't have to perish, but we have an everlasting life. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your blessing in our lives because we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we trust in him throughout our lives, he is guiding us and leading us as our good shepherd, and we praise you for that. Lord, I pray for this city that there would be a great awakening amongst the Christians and amongst those that have not even heard of the Lord Jesus Christ or have not even heard about creation, but there would be an awakening. Use us, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.